Sitting on the box, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, and Blythe Brumleave.
You know, I forgot to mention to Frank about our prep for the show, because he is so anti the word prep now that I just wanted to
mention. Why? Why is he against
Because of
that?
His colonoscopy prep that he had to do all day yesterday. And so the word prep was mentioned so often that he can't stand that word, and so I wanted to get in that in our crosstalk, and I forgot to mention prep. But of course we prep for the show. Okay, one thing I didn't even mention that we're going to talk about, and we're going to jump right into it because I was really excited about it. It's been too long since we've been able to talk about college football, and I cannot wait for that season to start. Even though I love the summertime, I, of course, love college football. So, and I actually, it's so funny, Blythe, that you mentioned this topic. I was at a barbecue on Saturday, and this exact topic came up. How do you define whether someone is truly a college football fan versus are they allowed to be a college football fan even if they didn't go to that school versus those really obnoxious, and a lot of times they are Gator fans, I will admit.
Truth. So thank you for admitting that.
Absolutely, no problem. That they didn't go to the school, but they're very obnoxious, and they claim to be fans, but yet they trash talk a lot. So I want to get a perspective from both Amanda and I, who went to these schools that have, and Amanda, you have to admit, there are some obnoxious Florida State fans, too.
Of course, there's obnoxious fans from
any school.
Exactly.
Except for Marshall, where Donna cheers for. But yeah,
you can't say anything bad about, right? There's just nothing.
It's true.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Moving on.
It's true. But yeah, I want to get the perspective from people who have the obnoxious fan bases, as well as the perspective from Blythe and Donna, who don't necessarily have a dog in this fight, but who have such a great perspective on it, too. So, Amanda, I'm going to start with you. How would you say, when people say to you, are you a Florida State fan? How do you answer that question?
Okay, how do I say this without being rude? Let me not be the rude one tonight. So I have earned the right to be a fan because I paid lots of money to go to that school and graduate with my degree. However, there are people that cannot afford to go to college, and I understand that. I was very blessed. If you have a family member that went to a school, I think you're allowed to be a fan. If you have a really like a best friend that goes there and you really don't have anyone to root for and you're like, you know what, I'm going to root for such and such school. Awesome. I still think you can be a fan even if you don't go to college at all, because school's not for everyone. I get it. However, you can't be the loudest dog in the dog park if you don't even have a dog in the fight to begin with. I'm not okay with that.
Totally agree.
For me, personally, I grew up, in when you're born in Florida, you are taught, you pick a side immediately. You pick Florida State, you pick Florida, or you pick Miami.
Or Georgia, I suppose.
Yeah, Georgia, I guess,
Someone
too.
Someone in there, too.
But this question was posed on Reddit that said, if you can be a fan of any college team, you have to live within 150 miles within that school. And so a lot of fans are automatically disqualified from that. And I think Florida State is like just below the barriers, like 167 miles or whatnot. So I did the math and I figured, well, fine, whatever. I don't care. I still like Florida State because that's the team that I grew up and that's the side that I picked. But on the other side of things, I also grew up cheering for Louisville. But now that they're both in the same conference in the ACC, I'm a little conflicted. So now I'm more or less
I bet that was a fun game for you this past season.
Oh, it was so stressful. I've never rooted for Florida State to lose in my life until that game. And it was such a great game.
That was a great game.
But other than that, I'm just really just a fan of college football in general. I think coaches, I follow a lot of coaches, not necessarily players. I follow rivalries. I just love the game of college sports compared to the pro level, just the tradition and the pageantry. I just think it's so different than what the NFL offers.
Good point, Donna.
I'm so different in a lot of things with this, and that's because I was born in Rhode Island, raised as a professional sports fan. When you are a northerner, the only college thing that you root for is the Frozen Four. You root for college hockey, really. That's it. Sorry.
Or some college basketball, depending on where you're from.
No.
No.
No. I mean, maybe UMass for that, but yeah, no. Boston College, obviously, with the football, they get some love, but that's, you know, that's about it. Otherwise, because I grew up with nothing but the NFL, the NHL, the NBA. So, to me, I look at Saturdays like, all right, this is my cleaning day. This is my go do errand day. I could care less about college football. I look at, well, you're trying to get to the next level, which is my level, the professional sport. That's how I look at it. But that's why I'm different. I'm not, you know, so.
I kind of agree with that same point, too, that all, I mean, with the NFL, everybody's fighting for a roster spot. In college, you're fighting for a scholarship, and then it's just mostly just bodies trying to fill a roster.
I am rooting for Wake Forest a lot, though, and that is only because, yeah, only because of Bishop Kenny. So
Donna covered Bishop Kenny for how many years?
Four, five?
Something like that. I got to do it last season.
Yeah.
Lauren, are you biting your tongue over there?
Yeah, I come off extremely obnoxious in this category, and it's because I have been to so many collegiate sporting events where I feel like you said, the loudest dog in the dog park is the one that has zero ties. And it's okay if you have zero ties, as long as you are respectful about it. But the ones that I can't stand are the ones that somehow try and attack someone, and they really don't know anything, you know, like. And that's when I start to come off obnoxious, because then I'll be like, okay, who's your Mike linebacker? You know, and then people just look at me like I'm nuts. And I'm like, well, I can tell you every, you know, player on my team. Can you tell me yours? And that doesn't make me a better person, nor does it make me a better fan, but it does make me respectful enough of the other person to not get into the argument, which, yes, in my family, my parents met at the University of Florida. I went there. My brother graduated from there.
It's in your blood.
So it is in my blood. And I was raised where the only day of school I missed every year to miss the perfect attendance award was to go to homecoming for the Gators and sit on the ground and eat bowl peanuts, you know, and have a blast. And so it was a part of my tradition growing up. But there are tons of people who get to pick a school to cheer for who didn't go there. Let's take someone who went to a service academy, right? I have a friend, that's who I was at the barbecue with over the weekend. He went to the Naval Academy. So he wants to pick a team in Florida to cheer for as well and, you know, go to games and stuff. So he picked Florida, smart man, obviously. But certainly he could pick any school. And then there's the people, too, who, let's say they went to, a religious school. I have a friend that did that. But they're, you know, fans of a bigger university, and they want to be a football fan. That is all well and good, and enjoy the heck out of it. But don't be the person who has, like I said, no ties to the university, and you're the one who's trying to trash talk other people. That's what I can't stand. And that's when I will get mouthy. And that's when I.
And those fans need a reason to cheer for them. Like, oh, I like this player because he is a part of a foundation I support. Or I love this coach because, for whatever reason, like, pick a reason. Don't be like, oh, I look great in blue. That's why I love them.
Oh. Which, by the way, orange and blue are some of the hardest colors to pull
off.
Those
are terrible colors, Lauren.
And I wear orange and blue every Friday during football season.
Do you look good?
No, of course not. But I do kind of slide the blue sometimes to, like, the Auburn
Navy
blue. Yeah. Okay. Or, like, Carolina blue if it matches.
Right.
You know,
right.
Whatever. It's all within well and reason. But I'll never forget, I was at the first Florida State college playoff game this season at a friend's house. And every single person who was at the house watching the game went to Florida State, except for me and one other person. The other person, I figured out probably 5 minutes into his trash talking, did not attend the University of Florida, just based off of, you know, what he was saying and stuff. And so finally, he was, of course, the mouthiest one, the most obnoxious,
absolutely,
cheering for Oregon. And it's like, dude, you don't have a reason to do that. That's the other thing I cannot stand. Even if, let's say, I obviously hate Florida State, I'm not going to go to your house, Amanda, and cheer for the other team. I just think that's so rude. And so finally, I just, you know, had my friend who was hosting say, raise your hand if you went to Florida State, and everyone did. Raise your hand if you went to Florida. I was the only one, and of course the person who was the ridiculous one just had to sit there. And
so you made him feel like an outsider as revenge.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But you know what? And it wasn't even my team that he was bashing, but I still couldn't stand it. Oh, gets on my nerves. All right, really quickly before we have to go to break, Blythe, please tell everyone how your obsession with fanny packs came about.
It's only been a recent obsession because I went down to Disney for just a quick little family vacation, and I was thinking about what purse I was going to take inside, and I'm like, I don't want to take a purse, even the crossbody one. Like, it's just too...
You might get strap lines,
yeah,
I've learned.
It's too much. So me and a girlfriend that went down, we were like, we should go and get some cheesy tourist fanny packs. And so we went, like, looking around, and all we could find were, like, these sophisticated ones. And I was like, well...
What
I
is a sophisticated fanny pack?
It's not... Like,
it's actually really cute.
Yeah. It's not... I guess you would think of, like, a pink one that's, you know, plastered with princesses and
kind of like the plastic with the super cheap zipper. That's it.
Okay. This thing had like 15 pockets on it. I kept everything that I needed. It was on me. I was hands-free the whole day. So I came home and I'm like, okay, I need to find one for Jaguar season because that was
That's what I was going to ask. Because are you going to wear it to Jaguars game?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not going to be clear. It's going to pass whatever purse rule that they have in place. But there are some super cute ones that are on Etsy. They're custom-made ones. They're like leather. They look like just like expanded belts. And then there's other ones that my girlfriend told me about that they're called jammy packs, and they have built-in speakers so you can plug your phone
in. That's when I started to get
excited. And play music from them. And they're, I mean, they're moderately priced, you know, $30, $40, $50 depending on what kind you want.
$50 for a fanny pack.
But that's got a statement.
I mean, that's compared to like a purse. $400 yeah, for right. a purse.
It's a statement piece, and it plays music. So
but the important question is, will you bedazzle it?
No, I will not.
So what's the point?
You can buy glitter ones. They have glitter ones
with
speakers.
What's the point of the fanny pack?
No, what's the point of buying a fanny pack if you're not going to bedazzle it?
Yeah, I want it to look cool.
Listen, initials. You can't look cool with a fanny pack. You have to go super cheesy or just not at all. It doesn't work.
It does work. I tried it over the weekend.
Well, show me a photo.
I'll show you the
picture. Show me a photo.
Yeah, she'll show the photo. Yeah. I do have one question for you about the fanny pack. If you saw Johnny Manziel at a pool, would you hurl the fanny pack at him while screaming at him that Ryan Tannehill is better than him?
I would throw it because I'd probably hit him. If he threw it to me, he'd probably miss.
What if he was wearing a fanny pack?
Oh, that would be awesome.
You know Johnny's not that smart.
I know, but I would love it if he wore a fanny pack.
We are going to get into a little bit more on Johnny Manziel, and we'll remind you what Donna Murphy calls him as we return on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I just want to see you shine. Girl, you're tearing that dance floor up. Let me see you do it in the bed of my truck. You sure know how to shake it all right. Let me see you do it in the Tennessee moonlight. Whoa, baby, let's go down a little road. Nobody else knows. Just me and you parked on the edge of the world. That's how I want to see you, girl.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, it's a good time to talk about Johnny Manziel because we were just talking about bags. And as Donna attends to her son, I will stall and give her a little time as we are back on Helmets and Heels. Amanda Borges, Vlad Brumley, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks with Marcel Robinson shooting lots of film because you know what, Frank Frangie? This show can't get enough footage.
That's right.
All right, Donna, please remind everyone why and what you call Johnny Manziel.
Well, you can't really call him a D-bag so many, you know, really the full name on air. So I decided just to call him Johnny Bag.
Johnny Bag.
Johnny Bag.
And what would you say is his most egregious, not, I guess you
his
say
flaw?
That. Yeah, his most egregious fault up to this point. There's so many to choose from.
I want to say he is an immature moron. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a very nice way to put it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's why he's called Johnny Bag.
Right.
That's the only, you know, thing I can go with.
The funny part is, in this one particular story, it's probably the first and only time I've ever taken Johnny Manziel's side. This fan, it says in the article, repeatedly was harassing him. Here he is trying to enjoy himself, get away for a little bit. Obviously, he's had some issues. He's been in rehab. He's now out. He's enjoying himself at the golf tournament, which, by the way, last week, because it was a short week, I forgot to pick my golfer, and I was very upset all weekend. I couldn't watch any of the golf. Anyway, side story. So Johnny Manziel gets harassed and finally throws a water bottle at this kid. And then his friend ends up actually pushing him, but the kid ends up not pressing charges or anything. And then, like I said, he throws the insult at him that Ryan Tannehill is better than him. What would you have done if you're Johnny Manziel, and do you agree with what he ended up doing?
For me, fans can be jerks. And sure. in that situation, I think that the kid had asked repeatedly over and over again, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's at a public golf tournament. And if he starts signing autographs for one person, he's going to – it's just one of those instances that you just got to politely decline, and then hopefully the fan goes away. I'd almost put the blame on Johnny Manziel's friends that were around him. Why not take the brunt of that action? Take care of that guy yourself, because a lot of times these guys are just looking for a rise out of him, and he was baited into it, and he fell for it once again. And it, I think it's just another case of Manziel putting him into a situation that he doesn't need to be in the first place. I don't necessarily think that it was his fault for the actions. I mean, you're always at fault for your own actions, but at the end of the day, some of these fans got to be put in their place. It's like Charles Barkley said, I think yesterday on the Colin Cowherd show, that he's punched 8 fans and they all deserved it.
You got to say it in the Charles Barkley voice though.
No, you're right. Fans are always obnoxious. They're always trying to push buttons, and I get it. But, Johnny, you're in this situation. You are a well-known quarterback. You need to step up to that next level of maturity. He can't handle it. He can't. Mm-mm. And if you can't handle it, then don't put yourself in those situations. Yeah, his friends could have stepped up, but, no, that's on him. You can't – people are going to heckle you all the time throughout your entire career. You could be the best quarterback ever and someone's still going to hate you, and you have to learn to deal with it.
If he cannot deal with one little fan, what do you think any defensive line is going to do to him? Anybody? The whole team.
I really hope they say Ryan Tannehill is better than you.
Right? Someone will.
You know the Dolphins will.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's just, I mean, come on. One fan got to you. One.
Well,
one fan.
But it's one person bugging you over hours.
Like 10 times.
Yeah, but he'll be in a game somewhere out of Cleveland, even maybe in Cleveland, and the whole stadium will bother him for 3 hours.
It is a little bit different if you're in, like, I imagine the situation was similar to this, where, like, the kid is over there maybe 10 feet away, maybe more, I don't know. And if you can constantly hear it, yeah, that's going to bother you. There's still no excuse for what he did. But in a game, you're not paying attention to anything outside because you're just focused on your game. So it is different.
But what happens, or take baseball, for instance. You're an outfielder. Anybody in the outfield, they're going to heckle you nonstop throughout the game. They don't do anything. They don't go all Ron Artest and go in the stands and start a melee.
But that's your job. And when you're
That is his job.
Right. When you're at a pool just hanging out, you should be left alone. You should, after the first 3 to 5 times, with the fans should be told by security, hey, shut your mouth, go away.
His friends, you're relaxing.
They were all wrong. Everybody was wrong in this whole situation.
They were.
But, I mean, I just look at it like, really, one fan. One fan. One guy got to you.
I would have been like, hey, Johnny, can you fill that water bottle up with something better than water and then throw it at me?
Probably. That's sad, but that might be what, you know, he needs.
But there's also players that bring it upon themselves. Like, drama just seems to surround them. And I think Johnny Manziel is the perfect example of that. I don't know how he's going to be able to handle all of the baggage that comes with being an NFL starting quarterback if he can't handle, you know, a fan that's, say, 10 feet away from him and talking trash to him for hours. I mean, I know it's got to be annoying, but that's when you get your boys to step in and say something to him and have him handle the situation. But the company he keeps is probably not the best.
Or you remove yourself from your situation. If I'm in a situation where I'm like, I'm about to snap or I'm uncomfortable, I will leave. And he could have done the same thing.
He could have.
That's where common sense comes into play.
Right.
Speaking of a man without common sense, Ray Rice.
Yeah, I'm throwing you these bones.
I love these transitions.
This is great.
So great.
I don't even know what to say about Ray Rice at this point, other than the head of the Players Association, the Players Union, came out, Demora Smith, or however you pronounce his first name, came out and said that he feels the NFL is blackballing Ray Rice and that it's unfair and it's setting a bad precedent. I could not disagree more with one human. And I think that most of what Demora Smith does and says is pretty on point, but I couldn't disagree more. This league needs to take, as we've talked about, needs to take a direct, completely different stance than they have taken on domestic violence in the past. They have let so many different players play after incidents have happened, and not just one, but multiple. In this case, if the NFL is blackballing him, and I'm not necessarily in agreement with that part of it, but if they are, I think they're doing the exact right thing.
I don't think it's blackballing at all. I think it has to do with the baggage outweighing the talent. And for someone who's an aging running back, I think he only averaged about 3 yards a carry, 44 yards a game in 2013. 2013 was the last year that he played.
And he's 28, so he really is old.
No team is going to take a chance on you, especially with that kind of baggage surrounding you. So I don't think that it's blackballing at all. I just think it's the fact that his baggage is outweighing the talent.
And if it is blackballing, Amanda, do you agree with what the owners would be doing then?
you could call it blackballing, but they would never come out and say, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
Of course not.
If it weren't for the video, he probably still wouldn't be playing. Did you hear the stats Blythe just brought up? Like, that's not what you want on your team. And then if you have this same guy with the stats that are going down every single year who beat his fiance, now wife, and I don't even need to go into all of that. There's just no way he will ever play in the league again. He is, we talked about this before, he's the poster child of the NFL now going in the direction of, we are against domestic violence. We'll do whatever we can to help our players in whatever way possible. So I definitely doubt that he will ever play ever again.
When did this happen?
A year ago.
So he missed all of last year.
He missed all of 2014.
So sorry. I'm so sorry.
JT is he doesn't like Ray Rice either.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
He's telling everyone what he thinks.
You know, when the, and I'm not trying to do any kind of comparison of Michael Vick at all, but it needed to be away for a few years to get everybody's head cleared. You know, that's what, I mean, obviously he went to jail and that's why he was away, but I just don't think any team. I know that we were in need, you know, here, the Jags were in need of a running back, but they're not going to take their chance with somebody like
Absolutely not. This organization would never do that.
Yeah.
The talent is there. Somebody's going to take a risk. Look at Greg Hardy with the Cowboys, Adrian Peterson with the Vikings, and Michael Vick.
The Cowboys have picked every known felon possible this offseason. And even in the draft, that's a whole other topic what Dallas is doing.
But it's the fact that if you have talent, people are willing to overlook the baggage. I don't think NFL owners are sitting around having secret meetings and talking about how they can keep Ray Rice out of the league. I think
I don't know.
He can't play anymore. He just doesn't have it.
I mean, if so, man,
or go somewhere else.
If that's going on, I want to see this kind of hooded meeting that's, you know, Da Vinci Code like behind the scenes.
Let's see what ladder in FIFA.
Yeah, I want to see what's going on.
Oh gosh, the FIFA stuff is just disgusting. I don't
to be a fly on the wall.
Mm. I just don't even want to talk.
Did you know that the World Cup has the revenue that it brings in is three times over what the Super Bowl brings in?
No.
It's FIFA. Wow, the World Cup far and away is the most profitable sport.
It does make sense because they have so many more games.
Yeah. And
obviously it's
over in Europe. Yeah, yeah. Soccer's huge, huge. It's so funny. We're in such a small, our own little world over here. Like, we think football's everything. No.
Go over there.
Soccer. Soccer's everything.
That's what I grew up playing.
Yep.
And you know what? Coming up next, we'll ask Ben Koyak if he ever played soccer growing up. Because he grew up north. Soccer may have been the sport to play when it was a little too cold to play other sports. But the Jaguars rookie tight end will join us next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Just as free. Free as we'll ever be. Just as free.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. Amanda, Donna, Blythe, and Lauren alongside you, as well as little JT down there. He's about to eat some fruit. And we have Jaguars rookie tight end Ben Koyak joining us. Now, Ben, right before we came back from break, I told our producer, Scott, who does a fantastic job, that you got to pick the music. So I just need to know, did you just pick Zach Brown Band Free?
I mean, I didn't pick that song personally, but I mean, I'm definitely a Zach Brown fan, so I'm more than okay with that pick.
Excellent. Okay, because I put together my list of top five songs last week for the show, and one of them was Free by Zach Brown.
Great song.
That's good.
So,
good,
you get excellent points starting off.
Yep. Take all the credit for that, Ben.
All right, so, Ben, you're from up north. Did you play soccer growing up?
Only for a couple years when I was really young, but then I started venturing out into different sports, so I didn't really play that much.
And besides football, what was your favorite sport?
Probably growing up, baseball. I mean, that was pretty much my thing up until high school. So, I mean, I was very much a baseball player, and then I did track in high school, too.
Who's your professional team for baseball?
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, Frankie's
Frank
gonna be so
would bad. Love you!
All right, who's better, McCutcheon or Marte?
Oh, McCutcheon, no doubt.
Yeah, all right. See, I have a little secret love for Marte. I think he's fantastic.
I mean, I like him, too. He's a good guy. But, I mean, McCutcheon, you can't compete with him.
That's very true.
Have you gone to any Jacksonville Suns games since you've been
here? I haven't, no.
No? How are they doing, by the way? Do we know?
we don't want to talk about that one.
Someone's shaking their head. I'm so sorry.
You know what?
I asked that question.
The important part about the Suns game is how much fun they are.
Okay.
And Thursday night throwdown is this Thursday. So if you're bored, Ben, two for one cocktails and buds for a buck. I mean, I don't even know if you're 21 yet, but.
Buds for a buck.
Just nice. Kidding.
Hey, Ben, when you were playing in college, I know that it says here, I'm looking on Wikipedia, so I'm trying to figure out how true Wikipedia is for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, so it says that you did catch the 22-yard game-winning touchdown against Stanford. True?
Yeah, it's true.
How exciting was that for you?
I mean, that was pretty exciting. Definitely the only experience like that I've had. It's the kind of thing you always, you know, dream about when you're, you know, playing catch in the backyard with, like, your brother or your friend. So, I mean, that was pretty awesome to actually be able to do it.
What was it like being part of Notre Dame?
I mean, it was a great honor, you know. So many good guys have gone before me and represented very well. And it's a great academic institution as well as, you know, great football program. So, again, it was a great honor for me to be able to be a part of that group.
Ben, take us to draft day. Can you tell us what's going through your mind?
You know, it's just a mix of a bunch of different emotions, you know, excitement, anxiety. I mean, pretty much everything, you know, anyone will tell you. I was just hoping, you know, that I'd get that call and someone would be, you know, giving me a call and telling me they were picking me. And finally they did, and I was, you know, overjoyed just to get that opportunity.
How did the conversation go with Gus?
I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I was... For me, my heart was just beating really fast. I don't know if I even remember too much of what they were saying. I just knew what the call was, and I was just saying yes, yes, yes to everything they were asking. So,
what if you said no? What happened?
I mean,
are you allowed to say no?
I mean, I'm sure there was some questions I had to say no, but I was just agreeing with everything.
They're like, "Do you like Brussels sprouts?" They're like, "Yes,
anything."
So, Ben, I've been to Notre Dame one time. I went up to South Bend my sophomore year in college. And it was about 20 degrees in late October. It was,
ooh,
for me as a Floridian, beyond freezing. I went to, actually, this is a bad story. I went to the Notre Dame-Boston College game. Notre Dame was undefeated up to that point. You were probably very young. It was 2001, I think. And Boston College ended up winning. But regardless, what I want to know is, what did you do for fun in South Bend? And now that you're in Jacksonville, what are you going to do for fun down here?
I mean, in South Bend, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, but pretty much all of it just revolves around, you know, the guys you hang out with. So, I mean, we had a local, I think it was like a double-A baseball team there. You could go see some games. Yeah, we just had a bunch of, like, little, like, spots around campus where people would go hang out. Then, I mean, just hanging out with friends, we would just...
Would spots around campus be bars? That's what I was thinking.
Can you say that? He's like, I mean, fifth. Ben, I've spoken to you a couple times in the locker room. You have spent time with Mercedes Lewis and Julius Thomas and a couple of other tight ends this week and last week. Who would you say is the funniest out of the tight end group?
I don't know if I can point to just one. I mean, anytime I try to answer that before, you know, every guy has a pretty good sense of humor. So, I mean, I think as a group, we're all a pretty funny group of guys.
How lucky do you feel to be able to now be on the same team as these guys?
Oh, definitely pretty lucky. I mean, obviously, they've been in the league a while and established themselves. I mean, it's a great honor, you know, just to be able to be in the same room with them and learn from them.
You've spent a short time in Jacksonville so far. What has been your favorite place that you've been to?
I mean, in the honesty, I haven't really been to many places, but
Everbank.
I mean, we went to the player championship in Sawgrass, so I mean that was pretty cool.
Did they let you golf at all or take a shot at 17?
Yeah, we got to take a shot on the mock par 3 on the mock 17th hole. Shanked both of my tries, but I mean,
you're not alone.
It's harder than it looks.
Did you know what to wear? Did they prepare you that it's kind of a preppy scene at the Players?
Yeah, I mean, they told us, but I mean, at the end of the day, it was a pretty hot day, so just dressed for the weather, more or less.
Because I saw the picture of, like, Chad Henne, and he was totally styling.
Was he?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, printed shorts and,
terrible. Some guys go all out, and Ben, I appreciate you. Comfort over, what's that saying? Comfort over beauty or something? I don't know. I'm probably making this up. I apologize. So what is your what's your style then when you're not in football pads and cleats? What are you wearing?
Probably just like sweats or gym shorts most of the time. I mean, I feel like I'm an athlete, so I can pull it off for now. But I mean,
absolutely.
So, I mean, I try to dress semi-casual, you know, when possible. But at the moment, that's what I'm working with.
Ben, I want to take you back to your high school days in Oil City, Pennsylvania. You were a pretty good track and field athlete. Talk about your javelin days.
So, I mean, I started throwing javelin my sophomore year, and because my baseball coach wouldn't let me play baseball and track, so I just decided to throw javelin, and I ended up winning states my junior year.
Nice. Very nicely done. You are quite the talented athlete. All right, so if there's one story that you would not want your parents to tell people about you, what would that be?
I mean, if there's that story, I don't know if I should be telling it to you guys either.
Come on, no.
You can trust us. We're not even on the air right now. Just joking.
I mean, I'm sure my mom knows just about everything. Half the time she's telling me she wish she didn't know the stories I tell her. So, I mean, I don't know if I even have any.
Never got, like, I don't know, a speeding ticket or in trouble coming home late?
I mean, I definitely got in trouble coming home late a few times. I mean, just normal stuff. I mean, I wish I had, like, some outrageous story where I could wow you guys, but, I mean, I was a pretty mellow guy.
I kind of figured you wouldn't have one because I had some friends that attended Notre Dame and their records are pretty spotless.
Why is that? Is that a Notre Dame thing? Is it strict there?
I mean, at the end of the day, I wouldn't say there's a ton of rules, but I think it's just understood that they try to hold everyone to a higher standard. And most people are, I mean, like I said, it's a very prestigious academic place, so you don't really have a ton of time to, like, fool around. You spend a lot of time studying.
Like me.
Oh, studying. Who has time for studying in college?
Says the Florida State graduate. Did you actually get to play with Manti Te'o, probably the most famous of the Notre Dame athletes to come out in recent years?
Yeah, I did. I played with him my freshman year.
Very nice. I figured y'all would have crossed paths at one point.
Ben, what do you think about Everett Golson transferring to Florida State?
I mean, I think Everett's a great guy. He's a great quarterback, and I honestly think he'll be successful wherever he goes. I mean, him and me had a good relationship, so, I mean, again, I think he'll be successful, whether he was in Notre Dame or at Florida State.
So that means you're now going to be a Florida State fan, right?
I mean, I'll be an Everett Golson fan.
Okay, all right.
Good answer. All right, Ben, we're going to ask a few really fast questions, so just off the top of your head. Favorite food?
All right. Anything Italian.
Can you cook?
What?
Can you cook?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not any great dishes, but I can.
What eggs?
Best meal you can cook.
I assume pasta, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can make some... What's it called? Squash pasta with spiralizer.
Wow! Ooh,
spaghetti squash?
Spaghetti squash.
That's a little fancy.
That's super
fancy. I know.
All right, wow. Favorite band? And we did already ask about music, but favorite band?
I mean, again, I would have to just say anything country. I don't know who my favorite at the moment would be, but I'll go Zac Brown Band. I mean, now you guys got me thinking about them.
Solid choice.
Rating.
Have you heard about the Country Superfest, by the way?
I think I heard someone talking about it. I don't really know any details about it, though.
Okay, it's not this weekend. It's next weekend.
Yep.
It's at your place of work, your place of employment at Everbank Field. 2 days back-to-back, Zac Brown Band will be there one day. Kenny Chesney will be there. Keith Urban will be there. Cole Swindell, David Nail, Tyler Farr. I can go on. All right, back to the questions. Favorite movie?
I knew you guys were going to ask this. Anything dramatic? I mean, maybe right now, Gone Girl. I'd say that's pretty good.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
I've heard the book is pretty good, by the way. All right, chocolate or vanilla? Oh, you read it. Nice.
Yeah, I did.
Don't be embarrassed. That's cool.
But I'll go vanilla.
Vanilla. Nice. All right, do you sing in the shower?
Of course, who doesn't?
Absolutely.
Do you sing Zac Brown? Is that what you sing?
I'll sing whatever just happened to be on the radio that
day. Beach or snow?
Beach.
Nice. So you're in a good place. Basketball or golf if you're going to be watching it?
If I'm watching, basketball.
All right. And last one, if you got to play any position outside of tight end, what would you play?
Probably quarterback. I used to play it in high school, so right. I mean, it'd be fun to go back.
Absolutely. Nice. Good answers.
Yeah, well, if you ever want to teach us how to throw a nice spiral, come on over.
Or make spaghetti squash.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can throw the spiral, but I don't know how to make spaghetti squash.
Or you can teach Johnny Manziel. That
yeah, that too.
Ben Koyak, Jaguars tight end, rookie year this year. We're looking for some exciting things out of you, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ben.
We look forward to some of that spaghetti squash.
I'll see what I can do.
All right, sounds good. That was Ben Koyak, Jaguars tight end. He gets to join the likes of Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis. Talk about, could there be a better group of tight ends? I mean, I would rather personally learn from Julius Thomas than Rob Gronkowski, but that's just me. And I'm glad Donna doesn't have a mic right now, so she cannot kind of disagree.
Talk about Rob.
Exactly. All right, ladies, I might actually leave you on your own for crosstalk with Tony Smith, because I am chasing a national championship tonight. I don't know if you've
heard. Oh, you personally?
I personally, mm-hmm. Lauren Hager, Lauren Brooks, same exact thing.
Same thing.
She's a ball hitter, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we will check in with Tony next. You are listening to 10 to Next on 92.5 FM. So I'm
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to 1010XL, 92.5 FM, the flagship radio station for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which Amanda now gets to cover very closely. And I wanted to get to this last week, and we ran out of time. I just have to tell you how phenomenal I think Sanderic Marks is. On the field, he was obviously fantastic last year. He got rated one of the top 100 players by the players this year recently. But not just that, but also taking that lovely, young, dying, terminal with cancer girl to prom. And then what he said about it afterwards, how much what he does for a living is just a game. And how she is truly the brave one. Like, I have to tell you that I think Sanderic Marks really gets it. And fortunately for us, I think a lot of the Jaguar players get it, but I just wanted to say that, and I will tell you that if you read any of those articles, you just make sure you have tissues. Have you gotten to talk to him about it?
I haven't, because he wasn't out there at the beginning. He's obviously nursing an injury, so he hasn't been out there. I did see him today. He was on the sidelines. He was kind of walking around. He, of course, had his little brace thing on his knee, so at least I saw him. He was present. But, you know, we can't talk to him. But I'm really looking forward to when I do get to talk with him, to just chat about that.
I think her name's, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Camilla, and then okay. Jennings is the last name. But, yeah, just
and he did
story.
Respond. I think he responded on social media to mm-hmm. it as well. And then I know in that interview he also said that. But I'm glad that he said it the way that he did. Obviously, those are his true feelings. But sometimes when you're talking about something so sensitive, you're just very brief. And I'm really glad that he went into detail about it.
Me too. Tony, how did you feel about the whole situation? Hi, Fat Tony.
Hi, ladies. I think you said it right. Sanderic gets it. And I think a lot of the players on that team get it. And sports has this opportunity, especially the guys that are in these spotlights, they have an opportunity to make a difference in some people's lives from time to time. And it has nothing to do with what they're doing on the field. It has everything to do with what they're doing with their free time, their spare time. It doesn't mean that we know these guys. It means that there are a lot of guys around the NFL that aren't doing the stupid things away from the field, that are doing the right things in the community, that are reaching out to the people who live in their area, and it's really cool when you get to see one of those stories. You obviously feel terrible for that family losing their little girl, but for Senderic to take that time, look, that's a really cool story. And you realize when you do any of that kind of work, which I've done before, you know, in my life, how much it does for you.